This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka nabiyyana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslimin kathira thumma ma ba'd. This hadith that's coming up right now, hadith on mujahada, and it's a challenge. A challenge, I dare you. I dare you all do it, if you can. Even if you try once in your lifetime. Let's see if you can do that, inshallah ta'ala. Hadith number 102 in Riyad al-Salihin on the Mujahid, the struggle for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, qala wa an Abi Abdullah Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu wa arda qala al-Ma'rufi sahibi sirri Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam annahu qala. So Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah introducing Hudhayfa in a very interesting way, qala. This hadith is on the authority of Abu Abdullah Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, the secret keeper of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's like the secret holder of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What does he mean by that? See, there was an incident that happened in the battle of Tabuk. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Tabuk, the hypocrites were hoping that they're going to be facing the Romans, and the Romans going to wipe them out, and they will be done, and we go back again to Medina, take over our country, our city, and so on. That's what they're hoping. But they couldn't stay in Medina because the Prophet made a general call for everybody who's capable to ride, they should come out with him. So the hypocrites had to go out, right? On the way back, they said, look, if he's going to go back and arrive in Medina, that's it. Our chance is over. So they plotted against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hypocrites. They plotted against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ambush him and kind of assassinate him on the way back. How? By provoking his camel in an area where it's very dangerous and rocky. So if the camel pushes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam off its back and the Prophet falls on these rocks, definitely he's going to be badly hurt, if not even actually killed. That was their plan. So they waited. When it was the right time, and it was at night, and as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going through that strait in that valley, they jumped that camel to provoke it. Eventually, their attempt failed, and the Prophet was able to keep hold of the camel, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they ran away all over the place, scattered among the crowd in the darkness of the night. The Prophet was calling for help, obviously, so by the time they arrived, Hudhayfa was among the first to arrive, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, over there. They went from that direction. Hudhayfa went chase after them, comes back, he couldn't catch anybody. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Araftahum, did you know who they are? He said, La ya Rasulullah, I didn't. I don't know. I didn't see anybody. The Prophet said, let me tell you who they are. Fulan, wa fulan, wa fulan, wa fulan, wa fulan. He starts counting all the people who are participating in that assassination attempt. He gave him the names. And these were, of course, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Hudhayfa to keep it as a secret with him. Why? If the Prophet is gone, at least Hudhayfa can recognize the people. But it wasn't made public. Why so? Because it wasn't the time for it, and it's not good to label people hypocrites in the community in that way. It creates fitna, especially if these people were dignitaries, or at least they were well-known, and they have following. That becomes dangerous. So the Prophet kept that secret with Hudhayfa, and Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu became Hamil aw Katim Sir Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the secret holder of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Interestingly, Umar radiallahu anhu, after the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Umar actually before even that, he went to Hudhayfa. He says, "Qal ya Hudhayfa, as'aluka billah. Let me ask you badak. I ask you by Allah Azza wa Jal. Asammani Rasulullah bil munafiq? Did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam call me among the hypocrites? Did he name me in that group?" Hudhayfa just like look at Umar, God, no, I'm not going to answer anyone after you. Like, khalas, you're good. So Umar, when he became the Khalifa, every time there's a janazah in the masjid, he looks, is Hudhayfa here? They say, no, he left. It's okay, find someone to lead the salah. Assalamu alaikum. Like, he doesn't know if that person's on the list or not, the blacklist or not. So he would leave, radiallahu anhu. That's why he called him Hamil Sir Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who carries the secret for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qala, what did he say? He said, قَالَ صَلَّيْتُ مَعَ النَّبِيِّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ذَاتَ لَيْلَةٍ. One night, I prayed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this narration, the salah was one single rak'ah. One single rak'ah. Which means the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did the entire tahajjud in the rak'ah of al-witr. Like the witr rak'ah itself, became his tahajjud, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I prayed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one night, فَافْتَتَحَ بِالْبَقَرَةِ He started reciting Surah Al-Baqarah. أَلِفْ لَا مِمْ ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي يَدَ الْمُتَّقِينَ فَقُلْتُ يَرْكَوْ عِنْدَ الْمِئَةِ Like all of us do, the moment the Imam recited, your mind starts wandering around, when is he going to stop? And then he says, I thought he would do ruku' at the 100. Like one third of the surah, and he would make ruku'. قَالَ فَمَضَى But he came to the 100, he continued reciting. فَقُلْتُ يَرْكَعُ يعني قال فَقُلْتُ يُصَلِّ بِهَا فِي رَكَعَةٍ He said, maybe he's going to finish the whole surah in one rak'ah, and then he makes ruku'. قَالَ فَمَضَى He finished Surah Al-Baqarah, and he continued going. قَالَ فَقُلْتُ يَرْكَعُ بِهَا فَفْتَتَحَ سُورَةَ النِّسَاءِ When I thought he was going to make ruku' now, he started reciting Surah Al-Nisa'. By the way, جماعة, Surah Al-Baqarah, how many juz Surah Al-Baqarah? Almost two and a half, right? And Surah An-Nisa is also two juzus. You could say almost. So he started Surah An-Nisa. فقرأ, I said the same thing. He thought maybe at the 100 he's going to make ruku'. He continued all the way until he finished the same thing. فَقُلْتُ يَرْكَوْ عِنْدَ آخِرِهَا And when he's done with Surah An-Nisa, he's going to make ruku'. But then the Prophet ﷺ, he started reciting Surah Ali Imran. Like, almost, la ilaha illallah, right? So, قَالَ And not just that, not just reciting Surah Al-Baqarah, then Surah An-Nisa, then go back again to Ali Imran. He did them in that order, by the way. Baqarah, An-Nisa, then Ali Imran. فَقَالَ Not just reciting it, no, he said, قَالَ فَقَرَ يَقْرَأُ مُتَرَسِّلًا Which means he is taking his time. He's doing it with tartil. Tarassul, yeah, just like reciting beautifully, taking his time. إِذَا مَرَّ بِآيَةٍ فِيهَا تَسْبِيحٍ سَبَّحْ When an ayah requires to say Subhanallah, he will say Subhanallah. When an ayah قال وَإِذَا مَرَّ بِسُؤَالٍ سَأَلْ When there's an ayah that has soliciting something from Allah, he would make dua in his tahajjud, in his salah, recitation. So if the ayah speaks about Jannah, he would say اللهم اجعلنا من أهل الفردوس يا رب العالمين اللهم اجعلنا من أهل الجنة while he's reciting, صلى الله عليه وسلم. وقال وإذا مر بتعود تعوذ if he comes by mention of جهنم he says اللهم أعوذ بك من جهنم الله أعوذ بالله من عذاب النار while he's reciting and that's something acceptable and permissible in the tahajjud salah whether you're the imam or praying behind an imam like for example if the imam says سبحان ربي he says سبح اسم ربك الأعلى he would say سبحان الله not out loud but you said to yourself سبحان الله and then we'll continue فthen قال ثم ركع So the Prophet was reciting Surah Al-Baqarah, An-Nisa, Al-Imran, مترسلا taking his time, enjoying the ibadah and the recitation, pondering, reflecting, implementing that with the dua and request and tasbih and dhikr. So if reciting Surah Al-Baqarah, then An-Nisa, Al-Imran takes about 5 hours, with that extra, probably maybe another half an hour, 45 minutes just for the dua and the car. Then, قال ثم ركع then he made ركوع صلى الله عليه وسلم قال فلما ركع فجعل يقول سبحان ربي العظيم he started saying سبحان ربي العظيم praise be my lord who is the greatest فكان ركوعه نحو من قيامه the length of his ركوع was all close to his standing يا جماعة the imam he extends the ركوع 5 seconds everybody starts complaining my back يا شيخ الله يهديك right like seriously Like one time, I prayed in a Muslim country. So normally, I make my salah as normally. And so I made my ruku'. It seems to be not as their imam usually prays. So one of the older people came after salah. He says, Allahu Akbar. This imam, when he's making ruku', he waits until Yawm al-Qiyamah. I could hear him saying that. He's complaining about me. I'm just like, la ilaha illallah. Just by adding maybe... 2 extra seconds, and for him it's just like this is until Yom al-Qiyamah, like la ilaha illallah. So then, ثم قال سمع الله لمن حمده. Then the Prophet said, سمع الله لمن حمده. He came up from the ركوع, فقال وقال ربنا لك الحمد. He said also ربنا لك الحمد. We praise Allah عز وجل. ثم قام قياما طويلا قريبا مما ركع. Like his standing from the ركوع was close to the length of his ركوع. Just standing. What would he say standing? The same thing. Allahumma lakal hamd, hamdan kathiran tayyiban. Allahumma lakal hamd. Repeating it over and over again, over and over again. Reflecting and pondering on those words of praise and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, showing gratitude to Allah azza wa jal. Qala thumma sajad. Then he did the sajda. فقال سبحان ربي الأعلى. And he was saying سبحان ربي الأعلى. Praise be my Lord the Most High. فكان سجوده قريبا من قيامي. And his sajda was as long as his standing. What does that mean, Jama'a? When he ends, what time would it be when he ended his salah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Fajr time. Like the entire night, he was doing it, salawatullah wa sallam. To the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that was mandatory. Just to let you know, tahajjud every night was mandatory. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands him in Surah Al-Muzzammil, Ya ayyuhal muzzammil, qum al-layl, stand up all night, illa qalila, except for little. Nisfahu, okay, half is okay. Awzid alayhi qalila, right? So unqus, zid, a little bit more, a little bit less. So the Prophet would do that. He sometimes would pray half of the night, sometimes one third of the night. But that night in particular, he stood most of the night, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now that's, Hudhayfa mentioned that story to us, right? Maybe it's the same incident. But somebody else was with him was Abdullah bin Mas'ud. Abdullah bin Mas'ud, reporting the same story, he says, قال حتى هممت بأمر سوء أو بأمر سوء. Like I was standing with him all this time until I intended to do something bad. Like I was intended to do something bad. He was asked, how bad are you talking about? Because I was about to leave. Like I literally said, I almost left him and he broke the salah and left. This is how hard it was for Abdullah bin Mas'ud. But did he do that? No, he didn't. He finished with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But how did it look like when he finished? Allahu alam. But this is how much al-mujahada to stand in salah and recite and just kind of like pondering, reflecting, not just going over the words and the ayat. No, really implementing everything and then put that practice in the ruku' and the sujood. All of this in Hadith Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. When the Prophet ﷺ was asked about what's the best part of tahajjud, like what is the most virtuous part of tahajjud? قال صَلَاتُ اللَّيْلِ طُولُ الْقُنُوتِ. The essence of the night prayer, he says, is the length of the recitation. It's not the length of your ruku' and sujood. No, how long you stand. That's what matters. Not how many rak'ah you pray. Like some people, they pray 1,000 rak'ah. May Allah bless them. But praying one rak'ah that long, that's better. Because that's what the Prophet ﷺ is saying over here. Because now you're reading the Quran and focus on it and reflecting on it and so on. This is extremely, extremely important. I don't know how many of you experienced these long salawat, but Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter of Bakr al-Siddiq, she said one day she came after Asr to the house of her sister Aisha, and she found the people in the masjid praying after Asr when there was supposed to be no salah. And Aisha was praying as well too. She was in her room, but she kind of like following the salah from her place. And it was an out loud salah after Asr. How come he didn't recite? Asma spoke to Aisha while Aisha was in salah. Qalat ayu salatin hadi? Like ayu, what kind of salah is this? What are you guys praying? So Aisha, while she's in salah, she pointed to the sky. So Asma, she said, Aya, is there some sort of like a miracle or a sign happening in the skies? She goes, yes. She means by what she did that, she meant what? Solar eclipse. It was Kusuf al-Shams, solar eclipse. So Asma joined the salah. And I don't know how many of you tried Salat al-Kusuf. It's supposed to be the length of the entire eclipse. So 2-3 hours basically is that's how long you should do that. The same thing, the length of the recitation, the ruku' and sujood. So Asma, she said, I kept standing. By the time salah was over, she said, I passed out. That they woke her up actually with water over her face. This is how hard it was, subhanAllah, the length of the salah. And I remember one time, I keep reminding the story of Asma. Why? Because it happened something similar to this happened to me. I was very young, still a teenager. And they said, Salatul Kusuf. And it was my first time praying Salatul Kusuf. And I'm like excited. Oh my God, I'm going to do Salatul Kusuf, inshallah. I'm going to pray behind Sheikh, inshallah. Sheikh Abdul Hamid al-Khaliq, rahmatullah alayhi. So we went there to the masjid, and as we pray Salatul Kusuf, and I'm like, what Salatul Kusuf, Ya Allah? Seriously. my legs, by the end of the, almost in the last rak'ah or so, I couldn't stand any longer. My legs were shaking, literally were shaking. Shaking, and I'm just kind of like, even the uncle next to me felt bad for me, kind of like tapping me to sit down. Yani. But I kept standing until the salah was over. I'm like, But subhanAllah, just the accomplishment at that young age, realizing, I made it to the end of the salah, was something so sweet and so beautiful. And here, the mujahada in maintaining your ibadah and your salah. I don't know how many of you can handle this, but give it a try, jama'ah. Give it a try at least once in your lifetime. Check one of those beautiful nights where you're able to stay up, maybe in Ramadan, when everybody is having fun, playing in the masjid or coming here. Go by yourself. Go to your private quarter, to our room. Everybody, you're awake anyway. Recite. And if you cannot recite from your memory, hold the mushaf. That's okay. Although it's better to recite from your hifd, inshallah. And make a long, long tahajjud. May Allah accept from all of you, Rabbil Alameen. Wallahu a'lam. Any questions, Jama'ah? Yes. About Aisha radiallahu anha? What do you mean? It's one single rak'ah? Yeah. The whole tahajjud was one single rak'ah, was witr. Is that a minimum? Oh, is that a minimum? Well, that's up to you, man. I mean, how long, what's your minimum? 30 ayah? Allah yarda alayk, mashallah. Well, yeah, I mean, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Tizm Tahajjud, the bare minimum for that to be considered doing Tahajjud, they said, like, yani, طوال الأواسط. In something like Surah Al-Tur, Surah Al-Rahman, if you recite that, that's good. That's relatively okay, right? So you make recitation as long as Surah Al-Tur for Surah Al-Rahman, Surah Al-Najm, Al-Qamar, and then you make a ruku' equivalent to that, and then sujood and so on. If you do that, I guarantee you, you'll finish almost within an hour. If you do, you finish in an hour. And if you do that in, maybe you recite four surahs like that, you will have eight rak'ah, mashallah, almost half of the night, if not even more. Wallahu a'lam. Nah. Taraweeh? Oh, can you hold a mushaf while the imam is reciting? Please don't do that. If you're going to do this, pray all the way in the back, in the corner, so you don't distract anybody. Because when you're holding your mushaf and two people standing next to you, you're distracting everybody else. And that's not fair. So therefore, I do not recommend for people to hold a mushaf. Listen to the imam. But I don't understand Arabic. It's okay. Sometimes the imam doesn't understand Arabic. So it's okay. You need just to recite and just focus on the qira'ah. Hopefully you can yani, feel it, not necessarily understand it. If you want to understand it, probably maybe before the salah begins, go over the translation. So get an idea on what the ayat are all about. And hopefully, inshallah, you will have that connection with the Ibn al-Azid. Wallah na'am. Yeah, that's fine. I mean, whether it's a phone or an actual mushaf, it's a distraction. Don't do it. Even with the phone, you keep flipping. You're moving your finger. Right? By yourself. If you're praying by yourself, hold the mushaf. But not behind an imam. By yourself, that's fine. You guys, maybe some of you have seen that video where the imam was reciting from his phone and then he skipped the page. And he kept the whole people waiting for him. Allah mustahan. Yes? Not who doing what? Oh, are you talking about the tenkis? So some people they say this hadith is an evidence or a proof that when it comes to reciting the Quran in salah, you don't have to follow the order of the surahs, right? Because the Prophet he recited Surah Al-Baqarah and then he recited Surah An-Nisa and then he came back again to Ali Imran. So that's they call it tenkis in the qira'ah, yani. But the hadith says that it's okay. They don't have to be in the same order. But if you're going to be reciting from the same surah in two rak'ahs, it has to be in the right order. Like you cannot start reciting from the end of Surah Al-Baqarah in your first rak'ah And your second rak'ah, you start from the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah. Unless, of course, you finish the surah and you're starting over. That's different. But, again, maybe a rebuttal to this opinion is saying that the order of the Mus'haf itself is disputable in terms of who put it in the order we see it today. Was that from the Prophet himself? Or was that from the committee that Abu Bakr Siddiq assigned to put the Mus'haf in that order? In the order of the ayat in each surah, for sure it's from the Prophet ﷺ. That's proven. Because the Prophet ﷺ used to tell the Sahaba, put this ayah in such and such surah between so-and-so and so-and-so ayahs. So the Prophet, he's the one who put the surahs, actually the ayat in the right order of the surah. But the order of the surahs in the Mus'haf, that's where it's disputable. So if you say it's the Prophet who he puts that order, then yeah, then that's an evidence that it's okay to recite, you know, the ayah, the surahs, you know, in the same order. But if you say it's not, then there's no evidence for it. Wallahu a'lam. Nah. Tafadhal. Uh-huh. Basically, you skip, you say, like from the first rak'ah, I started from the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, and then I skipped juz, and in my second rak'ah, I recited the last part of it, right? That's fine. That's okay. You should be all right, inshallah ta'ala. Now. In the same rak'ah, you cannot skip surahs, or from the surah. In the same rak'ah, you cannot skip from the same surah. Like, You cannot in this first, the same rak'ah recite the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah and then you skip two, for example, three, four pages. You go to another part of Surah Al-Baqarah and then you skip three, four pages. Then you cannot do this in the same rak'ah. Although some ulama, they say it's okay. But the majority, they say no. You need to keep the surah connected all the way together, inshallah ta'ala. So what happens if I get stuck? I'm reading from Surah Al-Baqarah, no one behind me by myself. I'm stuck right now. So what do I do? So do I skip a page and move to the next? In that situation, say, yes, you can. Because you're stuck, no one is helping you, you can skip an ayah or two and continue with your recitation. Now. Yes, sir.
Do we need to recite Dua al-Qunut
Do you need to recite Dua al-Qunut in Salat al-Witr?
Yeah.
I mean, in the Hanafi school, it's a wajib. It's part of the witr itself. But the majority of the fuqaha, they don't consider this to be part of the witr at all, except in Ramadan, with different opinions, obviously. Is it entire Ramadan, half Ramadan, the last 10 nights? Wallahu alam. So I would say it's okay. It's mustahab, inshallah. Wallahu alam. Yes?
Can a person who
you open a debate right now, man. Like if somebody's holding a mushaf or a phone behind an imam, and the imam makes a mistake, can someone who recites from a mushaf correct the imam? If the imam assigned that individual behind him, then yeah, it's okay. I've seen this in Medina. And I prayed in a masjid where the imam assigned one individual to hold a mushaf behind him to ensure that he will correct him if he makes a mistake. The bigger debate is if the imam is corrected by somebody who's not in the jama'ah, sitting in the back holding a mushaf. And then he hears the imam makes a mistake. He goes, laqad. So are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed to follow this? I would say, actually, some fuqaha, they say that breaks the salah, but I don't think there's any actually evidence to prove that. So yeah, if somebody corrects your recitation, whether the person is part of the salah or not part of the salah, that should be fine, yeah, inshallah ta'ala. Na'am. So I would say, better for the imam, if no one, there's no huffad, no enough huffad in the jama'ah, to have somebody behind him to follow him with the mushaf, so you can correct the recitation, inshallah. Follow. So can you hold a translation or a mushaf with translation, so you can at least understand what the imam is reciting? The answer is no. You shouldn't be doing that. I know some contemporary scholars right now, they're suggesting this. As a matter of fact, even bigger than that, they say, to put it on the big screens for the musallin to follow. The sunnah is to look akhi down there. So she put screens down there, yeah, for everybody, mashallah. I would say no, we shouldn't be doing that. And like I said, try to understand before you start your salah, inshallah, so you can focus on your ibadah and your ta'ah. And as a matter of fact, it's not even English, akhi. Even those who read Arabic, they don't understand the Quran properly without tafsir sometimes. So even these people need to read tafsir before they start their salah, so they can focus, inshallah, on their ibadah, bin Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Is it better to do it randomly or to work up to it?
So if somebody would like to try this hadith over here to pray one tahajjud night with one rak'ah, for example, should you start right away with trying that rak'ah, or should you start building towards that, like build your momentum? Every weekend you do, for example, half a juz, and then three quarters, then a quarter, and then one juz, and then two, and then three, until you reach that level where you're comfortable to do, mashallah, six juz, seven juz in one rak'ah. It's up to you. It depends. If you can, bismillah, go for it. Yani. Wallahu a'lam.
So you tahajjud 8 rak'ah and then 3 witr?
That's fine. You can do 8 and 3 witr, inshallah. Subhanakallah wa bihamdik. Ashra land astabiratu barik. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Go practice, ya jama'ah.